This is Real Life with Lisa Jesswein on Empower Radio.
EmpowerRadio.com.
Here's your host, Lisa Jesswein.
Hey, everybody. Guess what? He's back. Award-winning inspirational speaker and author who is also known as Lisa, the only person I know that calls themselves, and I'm going to get this right, Alan, Jollytologist.
You got it. You win the prize.
I've been practicing how to say that because it's such a unique word. Did you create that word?
Of course. I believe you can be like whoever you want.
I love it. So we're talking to Alan Klein, and you know, I mean, he had great books like The Art of Living Joyfully and Always Looking on the Bright Side. And he has a new book out called Secrets Kids Know That Adults Ought to Learn. So this is going to be a really good pausing moment for some people when they get to take off the adult hat and put the child hat back on, right?
Yes, and there's so much, you know, we can learn from kids, and that's why I wrote this book, and like to tell you and your listeners how this book came about.
Please, please.
So it was many, many years ago. My daughter was a very young teenager. I'm writing my first book, The Healing Power of Humor, and I'm working away. I have a deadline, and every 10, 15 minutes, she comes into my office to tell me something that certainly could have waited or wasn't important. Finally, this happened like 6 times in a row, so I put this big sign on my door that says, "Sarah, do not disturb me unless it's an emergency," and I close the door. 10 minutes later, Lisa, what do you think?
She's right at the door. Knock,
knock,
knock
on the door. You know, I'm furious. Yes, Sarah, what do you want? She said, "Dad, I have to tell you something. It's an emergency." So I open the door. "What's the emergency, Sarah?" She said, "Dad, I have to tell you I love you."
Oh, heart, my heart. Oh, come on. And in that moment, what happened inside of you?
Oh, my God. First of all, my stomach sank. You know, it was like, oh, here's somebody teaching me about love, about compassion, about being kind. And here I am writing about humor, and I'm getting way too serious. And so I realized kids teach us that. They're born loving, compassionate, caring. And then, I don't know about you, Lisa, but when I was growing up, I was told to be serious, settle down, you know, wipe that smirk off your face.
Don't fidget, sit still, or whatever. I mean, you talk a lot about children being kind and curious and honest, and that with those three traits and many more, as you've just stated, as we grow up, we lose touch with those. I don't think they're gone completely. We've just forgotten how to access them.
Yeah. And sometimes, as you know, their comments embarrass us.
Yeah.
So when my daughter was younger than a teenager, we went to the movie theater and happened to be the actor Joel Grey was sitting right in front of us.
Wow.
And my daughter, out loud, I tell her, "This is Joel Grey. He's a famous actor." And she yells out, "I didn't know Joel Grey was bald."
You're like, "Yes, dear.
Oh,
great.
Dear.
Glad for that observation." You know, this book kind of reminded me a little bit, if you go all the way back to like the 60s, Art Linkletter's Kids Say the Darndest Things.
Right.
I mean,
although this is not a collection of that, although
right.
I have some of those wonderful things kids say. But this is more of ideas. There's 18 of them. I call them secrets, chapters, that adults can learn from kids because I think kids are so wise.
Yeah. So let's talk about one, starting at the beginning with be a beginner.
Well, you know, we go like, I know a lot of people probably listening, they go to the work, the same route, the same, if a car, you know, the same bus, walk down the same street. And if you could just have this mindset of a beginner, you might, even the same route, you might start seeing things differently. There's a Zen belief, I guess, that seeing things for the first time, you know, and just open your eyes, because even old things have all these, you know, I was looking at a flower out my window the other day, and then I went on the porch to look at it closer. And it was amazing the difference between seeing it from the kitchen and then going closer and seeing the colors inside or the veins on the leaf. Mm-hmm. So sometimes being a beginner is just seeing things then, says seeing things through beginner's eyes. Because that's what kids do. Everything is brand new for them. Everything is something to be excited about. They don't know what the, you know, what things look like. And so they look closer as a beginner, and I think adults can learn that.
Yeah, and you remember even as a kid, right, lying on the grass and you'd stare up at the clouds and you'd make pictures out of them.
Exactly, yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's so simple.
Yeah, maybe adults should lie, you know, all your listeners should lie on the ground now, except if they're driving.
Right. Look up at the sky, or look up at the tree line, or look up.
Yeah. In fact, I'm looking at I'm in my office, I'm looking at my ceiling, and I notice cracks. And I notice there's a little hole there from where something. Oh, and this used to be, I had some roommates, and they had kids, and so they put stars on the ceiling that glow at night.
Uh-huh.
And I guess I haven't painted the ceiling since, because I hadn't noticed that. They're still there.
Oh, I love it. See, that would help you, looking up at that, and if your day gets too stressful or too adult.
Right.
You can do that. So being a beginner, everybody, when Alan said, if you walk a particular way to work, or let's say you drive a particular way, pick a different way or go that same way, but don't look at the same things. Maybe turn off the radio and be more observant.
Right. I don't have this in the book, but I just thought as you're talking, if you're a left-handed person, eat with your right hand. If you're right hand, eat with your left hand. You will have a whole different experience about having that meal.
See, now just now I moved my pen from my right hand to my left, and it does feel awkward.
Right. It feels awkward. Yeah, because new things are awkward, you know? When we learn something new, it's awkward.
But now I want to doodle right now with my left hand. that is going to miss. It's so childlike pictures right now. So moving on from be a beginner to be a daydreamer.
Yeah. What was that? Second
be
one?
A daydreamer.
Sorry. A dreamer?
A
oh,
daydreamer.
God. Well, you know, this is, I think, one is loving, but I think this is the second greatest thing we can learn from kids, is that the sky's the limit. You know, be a dreamer. You could be whatever you want. I wanted to be the world's only jollytologist. I created it. And basically, I show people how to use humor, how to lighten up, how to have a positive attitude. And jollytologist seems to fit, and then people ask me about it, and I explain what I do. But you know, that caught on. I'm a member of the National Speakers Association, and since I created that, there's a happyologist.
Oh.
There's an enthusiologist. There's a joyologist.
I love that.
So you could be whatever. You could be a Lisa-ologist.
Well, that's definitely me. I'm going to own that. I am the CEO.
You know, and I think it's better than like being maybe a proctologist.
Right. That's going to take a little more schooling. And, you know, when you say be a daydreamer, you say remember to make believe and pretend and imagine again. No better time to do that than right now, because we are approaching Halloween. And this is a time when, as an adult, it seems like everybody gives themselves free rein. Okay, I want to be, you know, Superman again, or I want to be, you know, Wonder Woman, or whatever it is. We should do that more often. Now, I'm not suggesting you dress up in your Halloween costume and go to work every day, but we should have that sort of that joy, that freedom to say, I can be anything I want to be all year long, not just at Halloween.
Right, exactly. And one kid, they went to the zoo, and they were having, the young girl was having a conversation with her mom, and her mom said, what do you want to be when you grow up? She said, I want to be a nurse. And her mom said, you know, just because you're a woman, you don't have to be a nurse. You could be whatever you want. What would you really like to be? And she said, I'd like to be a camel.
You know, and you think back to when you were a kid about what you really wanted to be. And I remember as I was growing up, this was just in when push button phones came in. So if someone had a trim line or a push button phone, because it was all rotary. And I remember thinking, I want to be a phone operator so that I can push buttons.
Wow.
I really thought that that is all that someone had to do to be somehow a phone operator.
Right. You want to be like Lily Tomlin, you know, one ringy dingy,
two ringy dingies.
Yeah.
I can't snort like
another child, Lisa, this is amazing. The father asked the child, what do you want to be? And she said, well, I want to be a dancer clown doctor who drives bulldozers.
Very specific.
The point is that kids, you know, the sky's the limit. Mm-hmm. They could be, you know, why can't I have that? Why can't everything is open to them. The world is their playground, you know. The world is abundant. And I think we can certainly learn that from kids. And the other thing, you talked about daydreaming. Mm-hmm. Everything that's created starts in somebody's mind. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
This book, you know, was an idea I had up here in my head and then started working on it and put it on paper. You know, if you're building a house, you have an idea of what it would look like. And so everything that's created starts somewhat as a daydream that this is possible. I could do this.
And the thing that moves into the next thing, because you might have this idea, but then a kid would just say, I'm just going to go do it. So they're a risk taker. Whereas an adult, sometimes we stop ourselves there. So that's another point, is be a risk taker.
Right. I mean, when I was writing my first book, Healing Power of Humor, people, you can't get an agent. You can't get the book published. You know, you can't do this. You can't. Once it gets published, you'll never make any money on it, you know. Mm-hmm. And now the book leases in the Healing Power of Humor, not Secrets Kids Know, my first book, is now in a 40th printing and 9th foreign language translation.
And you go, see,
don't
told
listen
ya.
To other people, you know?
Yeah.
Kids don't listen to other people. They do what they want.
Yeah, they strap a towel on their back and try and jump off of something high thinking they can fly. You
well,
know?
That could be dangerous.
I know, but that's what kids do. They see that and they think, it's possible for me to fly, or it's
right.
possible. And it's only as we grow up that, and people start telling us, that's not so. You really don't have an imaginary friend. You really can't be this or that or the other thing. And
right.
and we start
and,
believing
and,
it.
You know, kids do take risks, and sometimes they fail. But mm-hmm. how do they learn? It's trial and error. So they fail a lot. But they keep learning, you know, every time they fail, they try it a different way and they learn how to do it. And so they take risks and just keep at it. And I think adults can learn from that too.
And there's a reason why when a child gets up and maybe they jump out of bed, this is something they're great at, especially like Christmas morning or something. And they run with so much abandon and so much joy as if they have just, you know, the best day ever has just happened. And that's about them being joyful, because that's a really big thing that you talk about, too, being joyful.
Oh, yeah. You know, and I ask your listeners, how do they get up in the morning? What is the first thing they do when they get out of bed? Other than go to the bathroom. But I mean, I think the intention, I have a whole TED talk, if your listeners are interested, on YouTube, but it's our thoughts and intentions create our reality.
Mm-hmm.
And so one example, I wanted to march in the Macy Day Thanksgiving parade. I used to live in New York and go see it every Thanksgiving, but now I live in California and watching it on TV, and several years ago I'm thinking, I would like to march in that parade, but I didn't know how to do it. So I asked people, nobody knew how to do it. And so I put it on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
This was my intention. I wanted to do this, just like a kid, you know, this crazy idea, but I wanted to do it. And so a colleague, friend of mine in New York said, I don't know how you get there either, but I'll find out. She connected me with the person who runs the parade. Mm-hmm. And the following Thanksgiving, I was marching in the Macy Day Parade.
Oh, that is so cool. And what was that like? Were you totally a kid in that moment as you were marching?
Oh, my God. It was one of the highlights of my life. First of all, it was not easy. I had to be in costume, get up at 4 in the morning and be in costume by 6:30.
Mm-hmm.
They bus us to the route. You're standing there till you march. So it's now 7 a.m. The parade doesn't start till 9, and then till our contingent goes, and it was freezing cold. But there was such joy all around me. And then my job was to go along the parade route and shake hands with everyone.
Oh, okay.
What a joy. These kids, like, just glowing because they were shaking hands with somebody from the parade.
Aww.
Older people, you know, happy Thanksgiving. Everyone's smiling. It seemed to go by in a flash because I was like flying. I was like one of those balloons.
So right now, everybody, if you've got something out there that you have always wanted to do, you just heard Alan tell the story. He had no idea how to get into the Macy's parade, but just by taking one step, he ended up actually creating that reality. So there's got to be something out there. And even if it goes back to your childhood of something that you've always wanted to experience or do, think back to that and then take one small step today. Now, Alan, we are going to make sure that we have all of the links up, you know, to get to your book and to all of your books. But I wanted to bring in Remy. He's our producer and he's a great father because I don't have any kids, but I really am so, I admire you parents that have children and have to get up and go to work and deal with everything. And I was just curious, and I'm asking both of you now, Alan and Remy, what was the greatest lesson that you learned from your children? And Alan, you go first.
Well, I think I told you about loving, mm-hmm. but also about joy and having fun. I mean, my daughter, I can't believe it, but 2 months ago, she turned 50.
Look at that.
But do you know, we still laugh. We still act as a kid. We could be walking down the street, and all of a sudden we start, maybe something triggers a song,
mm-hmm.
and we go to a parking meter and make believe it's a microphone.
Oh, yeah.
And sing together. So there's a joy, a playfulness was the greatest thing I've learned from my daughter, Sarah.
It's a wonderful lesson. And Remy, what about you?
I mean, all those things are great. I love having fun and being silly. My son's much younger than your daughter, Alan. He's 7. But no, when they're little and you find, you know, you play a goofy game together, you do something silly together and the joy and the laughter and stuff. But what my son has taught me is to work on my patience. You know, like you were saying before, they're beginners. They're just learning everything. Everything is brand new to them. So it's old hat to you to learn how to, you know, when they're writing their name or they're learning arithmetic, or they're learning how to read and stuff, is to have that patience with them, to let them, you know, figure it out and do it and realize that, like, it's going to take time. You're not going to be perfect at anything that you try the first time you do it. It just doesn't work that way.
I love that, because you use that lesson in your own life when you start up something about work or whatever and you aren't perfect and you're like, okay, I got to remember.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, it's a very good reminder for all of us that, like, hey, when you're brand new at something, it takes a while to get good at it.
And I think learning patience, you know, because you think things should be one way, they think it should be another.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
and you've got to develop that patience, you know, and get through it.
Yeah, it can't always be my way or the highway. That doesn't work. And, you know, the kid ends up having bad feelings about it.
Yeah.
Right. So there's some negotiation. They can, although that's not in the book. Maybe I should write the sequel.
That's a good one, Alan. Yeah.
Patience and negotiation. You just gave me two other ideas here.
The book is called Secrets Kids Know That Adults Ought to Learn. And it's a great book as a lovely reminder to yourself. You'll also have fun while you're reading it. You'll learn while you're reading it. And it doesn't matter whether you have kids or not. This is a book where it's really about life lessons. But it's also a very joyful book. Of course, coming from you, I would expect nothing less than that.
Thank you.
Yeah. And if you don't mind, just because this was one of my favorite shows growing up, can you please tell everybody about your connection to Captain Kangaroo?
Oh, Captain Kangaroo. Yes. I designed the sets on the Captain Kangaroo show. I used to be a scenic designer, worked at CBS television. And my show, among others, for about 10 years was Captain Kangaroo. Mm. So and I credit a lot of my kind of playful outlook on life, Mm-hmm. With having been a designer on that show. Because if Bunny Rabbit was tricking Mr. Green Jeans with some machine that would, you know, Mr. Green Jeans would press a button and all these carrots would come out for Bunny Rabbit, who was the one that had to design that machine? I was. So I would always think, how would a kid do this? So a kid might take a cardboard box, mm-hmm. go in the kitchen, take a strainer, you know, put it in the box, or crayon, you know, it on the outside, or put a balloon in it, you know, something that a kid would think about. And that's the way I designed the box, rather than an adult with all these knobs and, you know, very polished. It would be kind of a homemade little machine. And so I had to think like a kid, and I think a lot of that rubbed off after 10 years, that I still kind of see some of that through my eyes, look at the world, as I say in the book, to grow down rather than to grow up, to see things through the eyes of a child.
See, you were also an inventor and an engineer.
I guess,
all
yeah.
All of that.
You I
know.
Guess.
Because it reminds me, when you were saying you were building it, it reminds me of when you give a kid a cardboard box. And the next thing you know, they're cutting little holes for the pedals and it's a car, or they're making a house out of it, or a rocket ship. I mean, that's kind of what you had to do, is create these things using a child's imagination.
Right, right. And there again, it goes, we don't always have everything we need, you know, everything we want. Just be satisfied with what you have. Kids enjoy the box as much as the toy that was in it. So enjoy whatever life has given you, I think, is a great lesson that I've learned, and maybe I've learned that through kids.
The book is called Secrets Kids Know That Adults Ought to Learn, and we're going to have the link on how to get the book, and you can also go to Alan's website. But right now, it is time for the RL3, which is three silly, goofy questions that Alan is going to joyfully answer for us.
Joyfully, I love that word, yes.
All right, well, one I sort of kept in the theme here, and I want to know, what was your favorite food as a child, and what is your favorite food as an adult?
This is going to sound really weird. Cream spinach was my favorite fruit as a child.
Come on. Did you not know it was spinach?
it was creamy. It was sweet. It was, spinach was just another word. I didn't really know what it was. Most kids hated spinach, and regular spinach wasn't so great, but cream spinach, fabulous.
It's probably why you're in such great shape, because you started eating cream spinach when you were a kid.
Maybe, maybe.
And what is your favorite
adult food? Now? Oh, God, I love food, so there's so many. Probably dessert, any dessert, any sweet dessert. I don't care what it is. Any pastry.
See, I love this, because normally you would think those two would be flip-flopped. As a child, it was dessert, and as an adult, it's cream spinach. So I absolutely love it that you have switched those. Great
answer. See, I'm a kid again.
Yay!
You know, my wife had this theory when you grow. I was a very serious kid, actually.
Oh.
And she had this theory that what you don't get in your childhood, you get in your adulthood. And I think that is so true for me.
Yeah, it is. Okay, here we go. Question number two. The best surprise ever was...
Oh, the best surprise ever. Okay, so I was on a trip, and I came home, and I really had to, go to the bathroom, and I ran in, and I didn't put the lights on. I just did what I had to do, and then when I was done, I put the lights on, and my partner had re-wallpapered the whole bathroom in a wallpaper that I really loved.
Uh-huh.
So it was like, you know, I'm in the wrong house. It was great.
I don't even know if I'm following that story. Okay, that's the best surprise ever. All right, and last time we talked to you about your fantasy name, but this time we're going to switch it up, and we need to find out what your band name would be if you had a band. And the way we do this is we take the... color of your underwear and the last food that you ate. So what is the name of your band?
Black Oatmeal.
Black Oatmeal.
That's a good one. I like it.
It is. What kind of music would Black Oatmeal play?
Well, I like Broadway shows, so it would be like a new updated version of Broadway shows music.
Well, yeah, so Alan Klein abandons his author lifestyle and joins Black Oatmeal and travels across the country singing show tunes.
Well, Black Oatmeal. Oh, that's fabulous. I gotta Google that and see it.
Yeah, if it's really a name. Yeah, you should do that. Well, thank you so much for sharing all your wisdom and joy with us here on Empower Radio. You're always a great guest. And make sure you go get his book, Secrets Kids Know That Adults Ought to Learn. Thanks so much for being with us, Alan.
Thank you. It's been a joy again. Appreciate it.